Everyone, welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo. We're here on the Word of Mom Media Network, and we are breaking those myths that mompreneurs and women in business are just, you know, dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, we're savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women as we journey on. And it is such an interesting journey. And I want to apologize ahead of time in case I cough. I'm coming off quite a cold. And I'm sure all of the traveling that I've been doing and everything else, it all kind of caught up with me. But you go on because that's what moms do. We make it happen. And I'm excited today to be sharing a wonderful woman, Beth Carter. Beth has been an inspirational speaker since she was an exchange student in her teens. She's spoken at and served as workshop facilitator for companies, universities, leadership conferences, women's events, and career transition groups worldwide. Her firm, Beth Carter Enterprises, is a thriving business encompassing executive, business, and career coaching, workshops, and presentations. And she's also the president of Carter Consultants Limited, an international executive search firm that she founded in 1991. Wow, Beth, as busy as you are, thank you for taking the time to be with us here on Word of Mom Radio. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure that you're having me on.
Oh, I'm excited. You know, I it's so fun to meet the women along this journey that are out there making such a difference. And I want you, before we get into, you know, all of the different things, kind of share your journey. What brought you to where you are?
Well, first of all, I'm not just a mom. I'm a single mom. I have three children, two in their 20s and now one in their late teens. So it's been quite a journey. I was in the corporate world for a period of time, and then, as you said, in 1991, I started my own firm. So I've been an entrepreneur for 28 years, and it's had its ups and downs, but it has also been very rewarding. And I've certainly met amazing people, worked for, you know, clients that have been terrific. Had my few share of bad eggs. I'm not going to say I haven't. It's not been all rosy, but I've certainly learned a lot about myself and really interacted with some amazing people, which has helped me, you know, continue with both my companies and do other things as well.
So I'm going to ask, what kind of attributes or characteristics do you think, especially women, need to have in order for people to view them as a leader? Because it really seems like that's what you are good at.
I think the first thing is confidence. And I know that sounds kind of, I don't know, whatever. But, you know, the thing is that you have to exude confidence because you're building trust with people. I mean, people think today it's, you know, you go into a networking event or you meet with a client or a potential client and it's a quick sale. No, it's you're building a relationship first, and it takes time and it takes trust. But to build that trust, the person has to feel confident in you, and so you have to exude that. And I sometimes feel, you know, between the wimpy handshake you get right from the start or bad eye contact all the way through to the end, if you do get them as a client, even the negotiations, that whole process, I think, sometimes gets undermined because women don't exude that confidence. And a real pet peeve of mine lately, and I've been calling a lot of people out, men and women, but it comes out mostly with women, is saying, "I'm sorry." We say we're sorry for things we have no control over. And that just really kind of downplays the confidence someone has. So if they walk in and they're, you know, they are really, the presentation's great and all of that, and then they start saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry," it just doesn't work well. So I think that's a key attribute all the way around. The other is, needless to say, you have to be, you know, prepared. And I've walked into many meetings where people have not been prepared. And again, that really kind of, you know, you're starting to think, well, do I really want to work with this person? Was I, you know, am I that important to them that they weren't prepared for the meeting or, you know, prepared for a phone conversation or whatever? And then the third one is they need to be articulate. I think, you know, especially younger generations, you know, they do rely a lot on social media and things like that. I also teach at Bryant University and Roger Williams University, and, you know, luckily they do a lot of presentations, and we critique those presentations. so that when they do go into the business world, they are more confident in how they speak, how they present themselves, even their body language, which is also critical. So I think all of that together really is what you need for effective leadership. And then the last piece is being empathetic, not sympathetic, but empathetic. So really understanding, you know, what your employees' needs are, what your clients' needs are, and being there for them. You know, it's great to be, you know, a motivator, and that's what people should be, especially if they have staff, but also being empathetic and really understanding that everyone is unique and has unique needs for that reason.
Why do you think it's so difficult for women to move up in a company or even grow their own businesses?
Well, I think to move up in a company, first of all, is how are you perceived? And with that, you need to have advocates. I have been very thankful in my career to have a wonderful, wonderful mentor. I've had him actually since I was 15. He helped me get my first job at KPMG because he was the head of public relations, and he's been my mentor since this day. But I've had other advocates that have promoted my businesses and me personally in ways that have opened many, many doors. And when you're in a company, you have to have people advocate for you. I mean, yes, you can market yourself to a point, but having those advocates is really critical. The thing is that women tend to make relationships more on like personal and things like that, or they tend to gravitate towards people that really are not going to get them to that next level. So really, you know, getting those mentors or, you know, people they can just bounce ideas off of that really will help them, you know, grow, challenge them, etc. But in a company, a lot of women just don't do that. You know, they're moms, they're working, they have other, you know, priorities. And, you know, I always ask, you know, when I'm interviewing candidates, I say, what are you doing for professional development? And most of them say, I don't have time for professional development. I don't have time to go to networking events. I don't have time to, you know, have the occasional lunch or coffee with someone. Well, if you want to grow in your career and move up, you have to do that. And that's the same with growing your business. You know, we get, and I've been at fault of this too. I mean, I get very bogged down in execution and getting these projects done, but then all of a sudden I don't have a pipeline of work, you know, moving forward. So I really have to play that juggling act of how much do I need to get out there to grow the business as well as get the projects done effectively. So it's a constant juggle, and sometimes one wins out over the other, but in the end of the week or the end of the month, I really try to make sure it's almost 50-50.
What do you think are limiting beliefs that are really affecting women and their brands?
I'm pausing for a second because there's so many. The thing with limiting beliefs is, you know, partly what we were taught as children. And one of the things my mother always said is, you know, you shouldn't brag. She doesn't even like Christmas letters, to be honest with you, because she thinks people are bragging. And I've realized that a lot of times people do Christmas letters and they're stating fact, you know, so-and-so graduated from college, so-and-so did this, I did that, whatever. It's fact. But because women have this tendency to feel like they're bragging, they tend to not do it at all. And the thing is, again, like I said before, you have to self-promote. So having that limiting belief that, you know, bragging is a bad thing is a problem. Another limiting belief, which I didn't have but a friend of mine had, was her mother instilled in her that if you can't be a really good mom and be a really good business person. You can't do both. You could do one or the other. And she had this limiting belief for a very, very long time. So when she was working, she felt guilty about raising her child. And when she was with her child, she was worried about the business. And, I mean, luckily, I was fortunate because I was self-employed through my children's younger years. You know, I could run off to the elementary school and read a book or be that classroom mom or all of that. I did have that flexibility, and I know a lot of women don't. But having that guilt trip, you know, having those, you know, like the little devil on your shoulder and the little angel, like having them on your shoulder all the time really affects the way you move forward. And sometimes you have to stop. And then the other thing is we victimize ourselves. Well, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. And the reality is that, you know, you can play victim all you want, but that's not going to move you forward. You have to accept the fact that either you are participating in this and this is part of the problem, which you are, if you're acting like a victim, and or you have to really make sure that people understand, you know, that sometimes you can't do something and we have a really tough time saying no too. So there's a lot of different limiting beliefs. I'm sure if we all sat down in a group session and said, you know, how were you raised and what were kind of the things you believed in, I think you'd find a plethora of different things. How it affects a woman's brand is it holding you back? You know, are you not taking that promotion because you feel guilty about raising your child? Are you not self-promoting to move up in the corporate world? Or are you not going after that big project because you don't have the confidence to because you have three children at home? You know, my feeling, especially when the economy tanked, I have a colleague out in Texas, and we agreed we would take on every stitch of business we could get, and we would figure it out after the fact how we were going to get it done. And I'll tell you, knowing she had my back and I had her back, we could exude this confidence that probably we wouldn't have had any other way. But the idea was we weren't going to limit ourselves because the economy was bad or we didn't think we had enough resources or whatever. And it's worked very, very well for us, you know, moving forward.
Why do you think men are considered better negotiators than women?
Because they take the emotion out of it in most cases. They see it as a game. They want to win. Women, on the other hand, want to be nice. They want everyone to be happy. And I know I'm generalizing, so I'm probably going to get called on the carpet for that. But in general, that's the way it is. What we have to remind ourselves is we've been negotiating since we were little. I'm actually doing a workshop in a few weeks on negotiations, and usually the first question I ask is, how old were you when you started negotiating? And you started very, very young. Can I have that extra cookie? Can we have another book at bedtime? Can I stay up later? Right? You've been negotiating. But then you get older and people say, well, that's not nice. Oh, well, maybe you should let him have this or her have that, you know, and you want everybody to be happy. You want everybody to be a win-win. And yes, you still want a win-win in negotiations so you can get future business, but you got to stick to the facts and keep the emotions out of it. And I think women in general have a tough time with that. Men just go in and say, it's a game. I'm going to win or I'm going to get at least this much. And you have to figure out what they call the BATNA, which is your best alternative. And again, it goes back to preparing. You need to figure out what's the absolute bottom line that you're going to do if you don't get it, that you're going to walk away. And women just have a tough time all the way around about it. You know, so I think women need to, you know, kind of put on that mask and walk into negotiations and say, I'm going to win. I want to still make my, you know, the other person happy. I'm not happy. I want the other person to win to some extent, but I don't necessarily care if I'm being nice or that they are happy. Like, we need to take the emotion out.
You know, it's interesting. Excuse me. I've talked about this at women's group about why we don't network well together. And I think it falls into that high school mentality of, I can't help you because what if you steal my boyfriend? And men don't look at it like that. Men negotiate. Men, you know, network with each other all the time. Lawyers share clients, doctors share patients, because they don't care. And I so totally agree with you that it's the emotions out of it. They don't care whether you're going to golf with Charlie as long as you give me your business. And I do. I think women have so much more emotion attached to things and take things personally. And, you know, business is business. And I do. I think that we have a hard time sometimes splitting that within ourselves.
Well,
so go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I bought a car a couple of weeks ago. And so we were, and I kept saying to them, I don't need to buy a car because I'm keeping my other car. So it was more that I wanted a car for snow, but I didn't really need a car. That's what Uber's for. So I've said this through like the whole process. And I mean, I got to know everyone's name. I heard their family backgrounds, like the recruiter and the comes out of me, you know, I'm engaging everyone. I mean, I was talking like four different people there. So now we're down to the end. I test drove the whole thing. We're sitting there, and the sales manager is sitting on the guy's desk, the sales rep's desk, and he goes, okay, so what are we going to do? I said, you got to give me something else. And he looked at me, he goes, he was floored, absolutely floored. He's like, what do you mean? I said, I got to have something else. You know, like, I don't need this car, as I told you before. I can walk away from this. And he said, well, what do you want? And I said, well, what about like a year's worth of oil changes? He goes, we don't do that. I said, okay, fine. What can you do? So he thinks for a minute, he goes, how about all weather mats? I said, fair enough. Okay, we'll do that. I think the look of shock on his face was priceless. So what I will say about if a woman who's listening to this is not a good negotiator, start small. So I am a native New Yorker. I grew up outside of Manhattan, and I am the queen of negotiating when it comes to the vendors on the streets. My friends love shopping with me. Even my friend's daughters love shopping with me because I never pay full price. Start with something small. You know, go up, like if you want a scarf or a hat with one of the street vendors, and if it's $15, tell them you'll pay $10, whatever it is, because it's a low risk. If you walk away, you walk away, right? But it builds your confidence moving forward. I mean, one time I told a woman that I could only pay $10 for a purse, and it was $15, and she's like, okay. And I actually handed her a $20 because I didn't have any change, and she still gave me, I was holding my breath because I thought maybe she'd only give me $5 back, and she gave me the $10, and I walked away. The other thing is women have to shut up, because in negotiations, they'll just talk, and they need to just, like I did with the car, what else can you give me? And I said, nothing else. And I just sat there. And then he came back with a counter.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors. We're going to come back because I feel like we're talking an art of negotiation conversation here with Beth Carter. We'll be right back.
As parents, keeping our school safe is uppermost in our mind. More and more schools are requiring students carrying a clear bag, but that puts the responsibility of keeping our school safe on the backs of our children. Safety Bags has a full line of bags, not only for the students, but for the teachers, the administrators, the sports department, school personnel, and more. Our line of clear bags and backpacks come with a 3-year warranty and can be used to raise funds for your schools and athletic departments nationwide. Please visit us at safetybags.com. You will see why we are the clear choice for your schools, because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than 1 in 4 children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Hey, sports fans, take the hassle out of going to the game with the clear bags from stadiumbags.com. Our crossbody mini messenger bag, stadium-sized backpack, tote bag with different color straps, and ready-to-go travel bag meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. You can find us at stadiumbags.com and get yourself the bags guaranteed to last season after season, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio with Beth Carter. We have been talking about, like I said, the art of negotiation. I love what you are saying here. I truly do. And I think that this is just something that we should, women, whoever's listening to this, download this and listen to it over and over and over again, starting with the wimpy handshake, you know, and not looking people in the eye. It was something my father taught me when I was 3. You shake somebody's hand firmly and you look them in the eye, but then you also have to think, once they're older, take the grip from them. Give them a nice firm hand, but the grip, let them do the grip, because you don't want to squeeze somebody's hand too tight. That's older, you know? But those are those little things, and I think they're so important. And I want to ask you, I mean, how have you helped women? I mean, this right here, but tell us more ways you've helped women reach their full potential.
Well, I do trainings across the country in leadership and management development, and that encompasses communication, conflict resolution, team building. It also difficult conversations, which is, I think it goes back, you know, part of its negotiation, part of its other. The other thing is that I am a DISC facilitator. DISC is an online assessment and answers the it's a behavioral assessment tool and answers the question, how you behave. And I'm a firm believer in DISC. And the nice thing with DISC is you get this printed report with graphs and all of that, and you can set goals against it. And it really helps with just, if my big thing with all my students and my workshops is you need to be more self-aware. The more self-aware you are, and if you understand how you behave, hopefully you're more sensitive to how others behave, and you can build a better relationship, which can help you become more fulfilled. Because you'll start to realize certain people are, you know, more worthy of your time. And that sounds very callous, but let's be honest about it. If you want to move up in the world, you want to be with that circle of influence that's going to make an impact on your future. And I just had this conversation actually last night with my 19-year-old daughter. I said to her, you know, you need to start hanging out with people that are like-minded like you and want to succeed. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to find those people. Sometimes they kind of walk away and then they come back into your life, or some you just have to disengage with. But for you to reach your full potential, you need to be around those types of people because they motivate you, they energize you, and hopefully you will be more self-aware and you take in what they say. I mean, I had lunch with a woman yesterday who is absolutely amazing, and our lunch became almost like we were coaching each other, and I really walked away with, I was driving home, and I was really thinking about the things she said, and it was so impactful to me, and I realized, again, going back to limiting beliefs, that something she said, I realized that's what's holding me back to some extent, and I need to really think that through. So I think, you know, women can sabotage women, and we could do 6 segments on that, and it drives me crazy because it's happened to me over the course of my career, but wouldn't it be great if it was the other way around, and really everyone helping each other to reach their full potential?
Right on. This is what Word of Mom and a whole media network is all about, is sharing the wisdom of women, because if we empower each other, instead of us being a single voice that you're hearing all over the place, we become a choir that can't be stopped. It's unbelievable. You know, let's face it, if you win, I win. If I win, you win. We win. We win as we grow. And it's amazing to me how many people don't get that. Even if you're in the same, you know, as a coach, you're a coach, you're a trainer, you're a mentor. Guess what? You can't coach and mentor and train everybody in this world. There have to be other people that are doing this, and sharing each other and what you do is how things grow. I love your message. What made you decide that you wanted to, I'm going to flip this over now because you're co-authoring a book. What made you decide to do this?
So again,
in book form.
I'm a single mom, and I was sitting down with a woman who's a dating coach, who's a friend of mine. We were actually having sushi, and I had pitched an idea for her about a book I wanted to write. And she said, I don't like that idea at all. I'm like, okay, thanks. And so she came up with the idea that because how recruiting and dating are very similar. And again, it goes back to saying, you know, if you understand yourself better, you know, and understand the company better, you have a better relationship. Well, that's the same in dating. So the book really came about. It took us a long time because I moved in the middle of it because we both lived in Connecticut when we started the book. And it really, it's kind of geared towards either women looking for a job or women who are looking for a relationship or both. So it can be geared towards newly divorced women who need to get a better job or a job, and it goes kind of from there. So each chapter, there's 10 chapters, each chapter has her part and has my part. So the first chapter, which with anything you should do, is create a strategy. So if you're interested in only looking for a job, what you do is you read that each section that has a briefcase, and then if you are looking for love, you read the section that has the hearts. The last chapter, ironically, after our discussion earlier, is on negotiations, because you do have to negotiate in a relationship, and you have to negotiate, of course, your offer. So, and then in between is all the other pieces of a job search or a love search. So it's really, it was an interesting ride to write the book with her. We have very different writing styles. We had some different ideas. I learned a lot from her, too, because she's written another book before. I had never written a book. And so, yeah, that's how it came about.
I love that you've equated it with dating. It's really, you know, as a single woman, I was also a single mom, and of 3 who are now, it still catches in my throat, 31, my other son will be 30 next month, my daughter's 27, and I have a almost 16-month-old grandson now.
Oh, wow.
And the fact that my kids are in their 30s doesn't faze me, and it flips me out. I'm serious, it catches in my throat every time. The fact that I'm a grandmother, oh, just the happiest thing that's ever happened in my life is this baby and this whole renewal. But, you know, let's face it, even as a toddler, he's already starting to negotiate, you know. And I remember it was the best parenting advice I ever got. I was in school, and Dr. Sands said, it is a parent's job to set boundaries, and it is a child's job to try to negotiate the boundaries. But ultimately, it is not a democracy. It is a dictatorship. You are the king. And if they don't like it, they can move out. It doesn't matter that they're 7. And it's really true. But I think that women, we have a harder time. We're so afraid of hearing no that it, you know, because we take it personally. Our businesses are like our babies. And I
you know, is that part of how you help with self-development in your training, in sharing how to take that emotion out of it and just focus on the business aspect of it?
So my father had a famous expression. He passed away a long time ago, but it was called talk is cheap. And what it meant was, is you could always ask, the worst you could hear is no. Granted, sometimes it got me in trouble, but in general, so there's been times now, you know, when recruiting, I can quote a fee very easily. It was a little harder with coaching and training, depending on what it is, because it's all so customized, right? And I think for a while, I was kind of downplaying how much I could charge, and someone finally said, you could charge a lot more. So I was on the phone with a major corporation to do a training, and I threw out a number, and I held my breath, which is very hard for me because I like to talk. So I, held my breath, and she said, okay, that's fine. And I almost, I got off the phone and literally did the happy dance in my office. And, you know, so I think we are very afraid to hear the word no. And the other thing you mentioned, which I want to bring up, is setting boundaries. You know, again, we don't set really good boundaries. And my children, as they've gotten older, are starting to realize mom has a life too, and sometimes they'll say, no, I can't do that, or no, I'm not going to do that right now. And I do it with friends too, because I used to volunteer for everything, and that includes organizations I belong to, you know, my chamber of commerce, whatever it may be, and just other stuff. And I finally started saying no, because one, I didn't feel like I was totally being appreciated, which no one likes to feel that. Two, I really didn't have the time. And three, it wasn't helping my business. And I was talking to another friend of mine who has her business, and we talked about, you know, if you look at everything you do, like if you wrote down, just kind of did a brain dump on all the different organizations you belong to and all you do for others, you got to start saying no to certain things, because where we get affected is self-care. And you've got to take care of yourself. And I'm in my 50s, and a lot of my friends are at that age, and some of them are falling apart more than I am. But I realized that I needed to do more for myself in terms of self-care, because all that we've talked about today is not going to matter if we don't feel good. And, you know, it doesn't matter. It just flat out doesn't matter. So self-care is very important. But to do that, you have to set boundaries. And to set boundaries, you have to say no sometimes. And we always feel like we have to justify it too. Men don't do that. You know, so even again, back to negotiations, they just say, no, I can't do that. Or no, I'm not going to do that. Or just no. Women have to feel like, oh, well, you know, I really would like to, but this and that, blah, no, no more, no more.
You know, on that note, let everybody know how they can find you, please.
Sure. So my website is BethCarterEnterprises.com. I will mention that I do have a blog. I have several blog series up there. There's the ABCs of team building. There's the ABCs of leadership. And then my more interesting blog, probably for your listeners, is the ABC 123 of women in leadership.
Beth, I'm so glad that our paths crossed.
Me too.
I really am. I'm going to extend the invitation. I would love for you to come back and share with us again, because I think the message that you are sharing is something that needs to be heard in different forms over and over again. I would be thrilled to share you again. And I'm so sorry that it's time for us to end this conversation. But for all of us here at Word of Mom Radio and the whole media network, I want to thank you for being with us today, Beth. I hope that you will reach out. All of Beth's social media links will be up on our show page and on wordofmomradio.com. So definitely reach out. Such amazing information to share and to glean and to take heart with, because this is how our businesses are going to grow. So thank you so much for all of us. We're going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. Until next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is